Hey everyone, Susan here. Today on this episode, I'm going to be talking about AI, the tipping point, and our entrepreneurs in the crossroads. We're going to talk about the Elon Musk lawsuit against OpenAI and the call for a moratorium on AI development and how it affects us as entrepreneurs. And before I get into the show today, I am going to be doing a solo show. I'm also going to be doing something different at the end, and I'm starting a segment within the segment. For many of you, you know, I have started my own AI startup. And for entrepreneurs, you're in three categories right now. You're either thinking of starting a company, and I want to give shouts out to you if that's you, or you are starting a company and there's some good days, some wall kicking moments, or you're a seasoned founder. We have everyone who listens to the show all over the world. So lots of love to everyone. But at the end of every show, I'm going to do something very different. I'm going to give you a look into what is going on with my startup, where we're at, and almost like a diary. And I'm going to just put everything out there and you can come along for the journey. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But before we get into the show today, just a couple of quick announcements. Number one, if you are not leveraging your LinkedIn, I don't know what to say to you. LinkedIn has done so much for me, for my personal brand. I've gotten paid speaking events from there. I've gotten investors from there. I've made amazing, amazing connections. And so if you need help with your LinkedIn profile, go to agency8.com. They are amazing. They will help you, everything from your photo to your banner to your description. They can do it for you. So go over there to agency8.com. And the other announcement that I have for you is if you are not following on social, I would encourage that you do. My new company, the pause.ai, we're on all of the social, everywhere. We're on X, we're on LinkedIn, we're on TikTok, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. And if you would do me a favor and share it with any of the amazing women in your life who are age, say, 45 to 60, our platform is going to be launching this year. And we're inviting people who are subscribers to be the first ones to get to use the platform. And this announcement just came out. I am so pleased to say we are part of the Microsoft startup ecosystem. So how freaking cool is that? So check it out at thepause.ai or go to www.thepause.ai. So let's go ahead and get into this episode. This is Ron Real Entrepreneurship, the show that brings the no-nonsense truth of what is required to start, grow, and scale your business. I am your host, Susan Sly. Well, what is up, ladies and gentlemen, and wherever you are in the world, I hope you are having an amazing day. And let's talk about all things AI. For those of you who are new to the show, you might not know that for the last 5+ years, I have been working at the bleeding edge of AI, first in computer vision at the edge, which is where we're using devices like computer and cameras, security cameras, and we're able to use AI to be able to detect how humans interact with objects and all sorts of cool stuff like that. And I did a stint with that in both retail, a little bit of healthcare. And now I have started my own AI company. And I have been told that I am apparently one of the top computer vision women in the world to watch this year. And I have also won an award in AI. So lots of great stuff going on there with AI, but I want to talk to you just as friends and people on this journey, because there's a lot of confusion about AI. There's a lot of misinformation about AI. AI is in the media every single day. And guess what? It is not going away. I know what you're thinking. I wish I could just go hide, you know, under the covers, and I wish AI would go away. It's not. There are a lot of bright spots about AI, and there are a lot of turbulent waters, and we are going to be looked at as the generation who essentially gave birth to AI. And because March is Women's History Month, I also want to say that the representation of women in AI is very, very small. It makes up less than 22% of all AI workers are women. And in the United States, the number of female founders in AI specifically is very, very small. And then it gets even smaller as you look at women who are, from different cultural backgrounds like I am. And so, you know, we look at AI as something that is touching all aspects of our lives. But at the same point, we are also really
subjected to a small group of people who are creating the AI with not a tremendous amount of oversight. So what you're hearing about right now, there's government regulation. Even the president of the United States said, I have an executive order on AI. There is an attempt at global policy on AI, World Economic Forum. They are producing documentation on AI. And yet, can you really regulate AI? So what we are seeing right now in the news are individuals taking it upon themselves to say, hey, I want to do something about that. And that's where I'm going to dive in right now to unpacking the first piece of information around AI is the Musk versus OpenAI controversy. And on the show before, you've heard me talk a lot about OpenAI, and I do use GPT. I use GPT for the builder. I love it. I have been interviewed publicly about that, and there's a lot of fun things that you can do with it. It's fantastic. I've created images on DALL-E myself, and that's all well and good. But the question really has come about is, you know, what is OpenAI doing? Do they have guardrails? And are they in alignment with what they say they are doing, which is to better humanity? So what happened, the heart of the lawsuit is Elon Musk said, no, I've been with you guys from the beginning, and I think that you are violating your foundational mission, which is developing and sharing AI ethically and transparently. And so part of the allegations here are that he claims that there have been breaches of OpenAI's nonprofit origins and a shift toward a capped profit model. And the interesting thing about this whole lawsuit is that there are ramifications for entrepreneurs. And in terms of, you know, as you're setting up your company and saying these are our core values, could someone essentially sue you and say you're not living into those core values, you're not living into your core mission? Yes. Could someone sue you and say, hey, you're not living into the core values and core mission because now we think that your AI is damaging? Yes. So what this really means for entrepreneurs is being number one is very clear. What is your intent with your company, and being very honest and transparent about it, transparent with your investors, transparent with your consumers, and also transparent within your team. And because the interesting thing about AI, and for the past several years, I have studied at MIT Sloan. And one of the things when you're creating an AI model is you've got inputs, right? This is basics. If you're in AI or data science, then this is very, very general for you. But if you're not, that's cool. Everyone is welcome here. We have a lot of different folks listening to the show. So you have inputs that you put into your models, and those create whatever output it is, what you want your model to do. So the part of this piece is that there's some controversy around OpenAI, and especially they released Sora, which is their new model, which is a text-to-video model, which if you haven't gone on YouTube on OpenAI's channel and seen the Sora video, you need to. It is jaw-dropping what it creates. It looks so incredibly real, whether it is they have a text to video, like a spaceman in a red knit helmet who create a movie preview, and it looks like a movie preview. It's incredible. Puppies playing in the snow. Some of you have seen it, a bunch of folks have, but if you haven't, go to YouTube and definitely check it out because it is mind blowing. And they haven't released it as of the time I'm doing the show to the general public yet, but at some point they probably will. And there are a lot of ethical questions, especially from, say, Hollywood. Like, could this replace actors? Could this replace screenwriters? Could this replace anyone in the entertainment industry? And the answer is yes, yes, and yes. And I've been saying for a while that things like influencer marketing, what is the future of that? Because if I'm a company, why would I pay an influencer when I can create an AI one that's going to work 24/7? And once I pay to have that AI influencer created, I don't really have to do anything more, right? I don't have to keep paying them. I don't have to deal with any disputes or what have you over compensation. And so the world is shifting. And this is the first text to video model that I have seen that is so flexible and so realistic. So going back to Elon, what he is saying is you guys are chasing profit. You do not care about humanity. And as much as I admire what Elon Musk has created, and a shout out to Elon Musk, and he did a stint at Queen's University. I took a course at Queen's University. I took calculus a million years ago there. My husband is a grad of Queen's University in Canada. He is also spinning up his own AI company called XAI, which technically could be a competitor. And we've seen Elon historically before be very vocal about certain industries where he, like the space industry, for example, where he is actually making a profit. So this is going to be one to watch, but it does affect all entrepreneurs and start to think about, do you have your AI code of ethics? Do you have your own internal AI guardrails in place? Because basically every company, if you're going to use AI, regardless of the kind of startup you have, you in effect are an AI company and you need to have those in place. All right. Number two, we have a call for a pause on AI development. So over 100 AI, top AI researchers signed a letter calling for generative AI companies to have transparency. So we're talking again about OpenAI, we're talking about Meta, and the regulators are saying that you're creating things that we don't even know how you're creating them, and we are very deeply concerned. We want to see how it is that these models are producing the outputs that you have. And as part of this, it's really interesting because although some of the people who have signed this are more in the academia side, it has ramifications for all AI startups. And I've been in a lot of meetings with my own startup talking about AI and transparency, especially for things like healthcare. And so what this could do, again, we're seeing private sector demanding from private sector that there is this level of transparency with AI. And so what both of these aspects have in common, not just the OpenAI piece, is that people are stepping up and saying, I want to know. I don't want to just be a user of this technology. I actually want to know how it is coming to these conclusions. We saw with Google's AI, and it was very startling, and this has received a lot of media coverage, that their generative AI was actually changing history. It was changing the colors of people's skin. It was very, very biased. And so the bias is bias. And I'll just be very bold and say that. And as someone who has spoken on many stages about AI bias, that the bias is embedded by the people who create the AI. And so the challenge with that is that as humans, we are naturally biased. If you and I go to a restaurant, I don't eat gluten. I am biased that I am not going to eat gluten. Well, sometimes if I'm in Europe, I might eat gluten, but I don't generally eat gluten. And so I have a bias, and that's just me personally. So we all have our biases. We all have our ways in which we think the world should operate. And when you are creating code, which is almost like, you know, creating art and being an artist, that you will inherently as a human often put your bias in to that code, and that is going to bias the output. So Gemini has created some images, you can go and see them online, that some people have said are quite biased. And so there is a call, and people, entrepreneurs are not waiting for the government to come and rescue them and say, hey, be transparent. It's such a big topic. And one of the things, if you follow me on LinkedIn, and go to my LinkedIn at Susan Sly, I have been quite vocal about, is creating a sweeping legislation for all of AI is like taking a Barbie-size umbrella out in a rainstorm. It's not going to do anything for you. And here's why. Some of the AI legislation that could be helpful might actually be harmful to parts of AI. So we're seeing a lot of progress, for example, with AI in healthcare, where AI is able to do early prediction. I read an article that came across my desk on prostate cancer, and the AI was able to determine that prostate cancer is actually not one disease, it's actually a combination of two diseases. And so we can see where AI can be beneficial for super, super, super early detection. If you detect something very early, then you are much more likely to be able to survive it, right? There's some challenges with prediction because the AI can still be wrong there. But in terms of early detection, it is a bright spot. So some AI legislation, especially around generative AI images, might be helpful in terms of protecting humans in general, but it might be harmful if you're that person where the generative AI is being beneficial in super early detection. So this is not an easy issue to solve. It's not like suddenly we all pick up placards and we go, hey, yes, everyone, this is the AI legislation. It's all well and good. It really, my Vanguard opinion is we have to take a look at different segments and we have to be smart. Here, let me give an example, because the other issue that we're seeing is around this concept of social media. And they're comparing, they're saying, hey, the mistakes we made in social media, we want to prevent those mistakes from happening again. But with the generative AI, like, hey, we saw that, but social media isn't changing, right? So are these guardrails actually going to have any impact? I really don't know the answer to that, but hey, at least we are seeing a demand and a call for the transparency. I think that's fantastic. The third thing I want to talk about are really down and deep in terms of entrepreneurs and what does this mean? So the first thing is that you want to internally think about your ethical frameworks for AI and transparency in your own AI operations. And that means documentation, whatever it is you're building. And even if you're not building a tech company, I don't care what kind of company it is, be transparent about the tools you're using, especially the AI-enabled tools. If you're using open source APIs, take a look at your architecture and be transparent. Don't have anything to hide. I mean, you have proprietary information, obviously guard that, but be very clear. That's the first thing. The second thing is take a step back and I want you to think about how you want your company to be positioned in this AI revolution. And where do you want to sit? And are you a company, for example, that is creating technology, or are you a company that's using technology? And regardless, how do you want to position yourself? And if you are going to position yourself and say, these are our core values, this is how we use AI, then consider putting that right on your website and just being very, very clear and make sure it's embedded in your culture. And the third thing I'm going to say is that whoever is on your bus, whoever is in your company, who are your leaders, your managers, the people you're bringing on, your co-founders, maybe your super early stage, that whoever they are, that they're very clear and be very clear. What AI tools are they allowed to use? Why are they allowed to use them? Are they not allowed to use? Take a look at all of the outputs that are coming out of any of your AI tools and make sure those outputs align with who you are as a company. And I know it's a lot to really think about. And my rally call for all of you is that we are going to see a lot more in terms of the demand for transparency. We're going to see a lot more in terms of taking a look at the effects of AI. We won't know what all of those are for perhaps quite some time, or, you know, thinking about, as I said, how it compares to social media. And even though we know social media is damaging, especially for young people, there's, you know, a lot of statistics out there. It hasn't really changed anything. So is this going to change, or is this a lot of peacocking? I don't know. But one thing I do know is that, again, we can control how we show up in the AI revolution with our companies as entrepreneurs. So as I promised you, the last part of the show is dedicated to what in the world is going on with you, Susan, and your company. So I have been reading an amazing book called 10X is Easier Than 2X by Dan Sullivan from Strategic Coach and Dr. Benjamin Hardy. And the premise of the book is not about this discussion around 10X, like, oh, you have to grind, you have to work 10 times harder. And I'll tell you, I know a lot of people, myself included, who did that years ago, and it ended up burning me out, right? So that's not how I want to operate. I want to operate smarter. I want to operate with grace, with poise. I want to make sure I'm intentional. And one of the things the book is talking about is that it isn't necessarily about being 20% better than anyone else in your category, but it's about being 10 to 20% different. And I was inspired by that because I listen to a lot of podcasts. There are a lot of people interviewing folks, or there are a lot of people talking solo shows, but they're not really sharing what's going on for them. And because this is a show on entrepreneurship, I am going to be very candid. So at the end of each show, I'm going to record a diary for you to hear. And so here it goes. This is the one. So where we're at right now, when I'm recording the show, we are still in Q1 of 2024. And this company that I have spun up, The Pause, it's moving a lot faster than I had anticipated. And you may say, wow, you know, that's a really good thing, Susan. But I mean, one day I had 10 meetings, and we have a lot of people who are interested in investing. We have a lot of people who are interested in partnering. We are looking at our technical architecture. We're looking at who we are bringing on to help us build this out. We have these partnerships that are absolutely amazing. People who believe in what we're doing, who believe in me. And I sat there and I really thought that I would have this space of time to kind of go reflect and, you know, sort of spin things up, but, you know, move perhaps initially at a different pace, knowing that as a startup founder, once you get into the throes of momentum, like, you are just going. And so we're probably 3 months ahead of where I thought we would be at this time. And so I'm sitting here, and number one, I'm really grateful. And number two, I'm working longer hours than, you know, I'm working just as long as I was when I was the co-CEO and co-founder of another AI company. And so my days are spent, we've already had people interested in our Series A round. That isn't even going to be until next year. My days are spent having those conversations. We're in a lot of technical meetings. We're looking at things like our, how our models are going to be built, what our outcomes, what is our minimum marketable product, our MMP, what does that look like? I've been talking about menopause to so many people. I've had men come up to me, and, you know, this one guy came up and his eyes were a little teary. His wife went into chemopause, which is instant menopause when you go into chemotherapy. And unfortunately, his wife passed. And so all of these conversations, and it's fascinating because I know we're on the right track and we have a lot of traction. And at the same time, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, okay, we're raising money and there are people to hire and they have to be the right people. And are they the cultural fit and can they actually deploy? And so all of those things are going on. And so that's where we're at. And happy to say we're ahead of where we want to be. By the end of this year, we want to have our platform fully up and running with the paid users on the platform in a subscription model available on the App Store and the Play Store. And then we have plans beyond that to scale even more, but that's where we're at. And I just want to thank all of you for coming along on the journey. And if you have questions for me, by all means, go to susansly.com. You can ask me a question. I'd love to answer it in this component of the show. So with that, God bless. Go rock your day. Check out some of our previous shows, amazing founders that I have interviewed, and I will see you in the next episode.
Hey, this is Susan, and thanks so much for listening to this episode on Raw and Real Entrepreneurship. If this episode or any episode has been helpful to you, you've gotten at least one solid tip from myself or my guests, I would love it if you would leave a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. After you leave your review, go ahead and email reviews@susansly.com. Let us know where you left the review. And if I read your review on air, you could get a $50 Amazon gift card. And we would so appreciate it because reviews do help boost the show and get this message all over the world. If you're interested in any of the resources we discussed on the show, go to susansly.com. That's where all the show notes live. And with that, go out there, rock your day, God bless, and I will see you in the next episode.